welcome to Travel Fun. My name is Mary Beth Clementi, and I'm the host of this talk show on travel. And this week, we are going to the south of France. And I have Julie Montner on the phone. Julie is a writer, blogger. She has the blog called theprovencepost.com. And she's actually on the phone from her home in Saint-Rémy-de-Provence. I would like to welcome Julie to Travel Fun. Hi, Julie.
Hi, thank you. Bonsoir, I should say.
Yes, well, it's bonsoir for you and bonjour for me. And
right.
I guess that in itself reveals that there's an eight-hour time difference between the Rocky Mountains and France. So start out by telling me a little bit about yourself, how long you've lived in France, how long you've been doing your blog, The Provence Post.
Sure. Excuse me. I was living and working in New York. I was executive editor at Food Arts Magazine, which is a magazine for chefs. And I came here to the south of France on vacation. I came to take a two-week photography class with a big group of strangers of all ages from all over the U.S. And it was really the best vacation of my life. It was a lot of interesting people in a gorgeous place. And I went back to New York, and I couldn't stop thinking about Provence, the whole region, but Saint-Rémy in particular. And as it turns out, one of my photography teachers opened a hotel here a year later, and I came with some of my fellow students for the opening, and that's when I had this epiphany. Why am I living and working in New York City when a place like this exists? So it took a while to sort of figure it out, and finally I just took a deep breath, and I took a leave of absence, and I rented a house here, which wasn't so easy to find, but that's another story, and I came, and the plan was to stay 3 months and then go back to real life, whatever real life would mean at that time. And right away I started freelancing. I've been a food and travel writer my whole career. And I thought, oh, maybe I could actually stay here a little bit longer and support myself as a writer but not work full-time in New York as a magazine editor. So I like to say it was the smartest, stupid thing I've ever done.
That sounds like a classic story, sort of, that so many people dream of doing but don't have the nerve to do it. Now, how many years ago was this when you first went on this trip to Provence?
This escapade. It was about 13 years ago, and I haven't been here for 13 years straight. Sometimes work or family obligations take me back to the U.S., but I have had my house here for 13 years and spend big chunks of each year here. For example, I've been here for a year right now on this trip, and it does get better every year. You would think by now I would sort of feel I had seen it and done it, but my life here just becomes richer every year. I feel very lucky.
Okay, and now tell us a little bit about the Provence Post. What kind of stories do you post at your blog?
Oh, okay, well, food and travel has been my thing, as I mentioned, for a long time, but I started the blog about 3.5 years ago because just for the pleasure of writing, I wanted the joy of being able to write what I wanted and share some of the interesting, beautiful, exciting things I was coming across with whoever might be interested without having to be restricted by what magazine will buy this, what's the angle, what's the length. As you well know, when you're a writer, you just want to write. And the blog seemed like a great way to share what I found with people. So I do a lot of food, a lot of hotels, travel, interesting people doing great things, a lot of art, not current events, sort of local events, national events, music, photography, really anything that I think my readers would enjoy. When I started the blog, I assumed that the bulk of my readers would be English speakers here in the south of France. And as it turns out, last month I checked, I had readers from 77 different countries. So obviously there's a lot of people who love Provence or love the idea of Provence, whether they live here or not.
Indeed. I think that it was Peter Mayle who is responsible for sharing Provence with the entire world through his books, A Year in Provence, Toujours Provence, and so many people came to discover it that way.
True.
Why don't you talk a little bit about what it is that you love about Provence, and maybe if you want to encapsulate that in the whole south of France, actually.
Oh, boy, there's so many things I love about this country. One thing that comes to mind is the passion that the French feel for their homeland and their zeal for preserving history and tradition. For example, in my village, which is 10,000 people, but people from all over the world, it's very international, lots of tourists, lots of second homeowners. In my village, we have a schedule of festivals, and they rarely vary from year to year, and they're beautiful. For example, in summer, certain weekends, we have bulls, and other weekends, we have a big paella, and we dance. And one Sunday evening each summer, 100 gorgeous white Camargue horses are paraded around the village by the local cowboys. And on Pentecost Monday, they run 3,000 sheep through town. And I love how the French love to do things the way they've always done it. That seems to be a big difference between the French mentality and the American mentality. You'd have to live here a very long time in order to see the lifestyle change drastically. Of course, that's my perception. But, on Wednesday, the flower guy is always on the corner, and the keymaker parks by the church. And you know that, and people really like that. People like that the food is local. They sort of feel that French food is best and Provençal food is even better. Whereas the American sensibility seems to be towards change. I would say the French sensibility, and particularly the Provençal sensibility, is we do it this way, we've always done it this way, we like to do it this way. And it's very, very nice.
Very much steeped in tradition, certainly. Do you have any sense in, let's say, the past 10 to 12 years, 13 years that you've been living there, that there's any chipping away at this with the rise of social media and having to keep up with the rest of the world and all that? Do you sense that the French might be losing some of the traditions you're talking about?
It's a vibrant country. There's a lot of young people here. Of course, the French are keeping pace with what's going on in the world. I don't have any sort of statistics, but I'm sure there's a lot fewer people here proportionally who do social media, for example. Everybody here has cell phones. I think they probably had a lot of cell phones before we did in the U.S. I think, if you look at cuisine, for example, America is a country of immigrants. So, of course, our cuisine has ingredients and influences from cuisines from all over the world. Well, the French have French cuisine, and they like French cuisine. And so the whole thing about fusion and ethnic influences in ingredients was very slow to catch on here. It's just starting now. I mean, there are many, many French towns that do not have a restaurant other than French, or maybe Italian. So that's one way. It's starting to change. And, of course, I'm speaking about a small town in the country. I know that the same would not be true if I lived in Paris.
Right. It is quite different. In fact, you and I both shared a story this week on Facebook about the American food trucks that are sort of taking Paris by storm and selling hamburger and fries, and those were started up by Americans. So it's true. Paris is a whole different scene, and we are talking about Provence in the south of France, and you live in Saint-Rémy-de-Provence, a wonderful little town. Talk overall about, paint a picture of Provence for people that have not been there. And be sure to include the wonderful smells.
Well, the buildings here are made of stone, and that very much creates a certain ambiance. You rarely see a building made of wood. So you get big, beautiful, old stone homes and buildings. It's quite hilly and mountainous. You have beautiful medieval hilltop villages, gorgeous green valleys, obviously lots of vineyards, lots of olive groves, lots of agriculture. I'm trying to think of what we might compare it to in the U.S. The French people are very, very sensual. I often come home and find three tomatoes, sun-warmed tomatoes, you know, just plucked from the vine, hanging on my front door. And my neighbor will come over and tell me about the beautiful place where he picked the tomatoes and how delicious they are. And we'll stand there and eat one together. Or grapes, or people, it's still very, how do you say it? The simpler pleasures, I think, are very much revered here in a way that they may not be in larger cities. I came here from New York, so my comparison is New York City to San Remy. Again, my experience would be very different if I were living in Paris or even in a city a little bit larger than San Remy.
And I think it's important to say that they have a real connection to the terroir or earth.
No question.
And of course, when I talked about the smells of Provence, you arrive there and you smell rosemary and thyme and really the whole bouquet of what is known as herbes de Provence, the herbs of Provence. And it's just such a... The fragrance in the air is wonderful. And, of course, there's the lavender, the marvelous lavender fields in Provence. In this arid landscape that really makes up the whole sort of physical beauty of Provence. And it's a sun-drenched area. That is also why so many people like going to Provence. I am visiting with Julie Montner. And Julie is an American woman living in Provence, in Saint-Rémy-de-Provence. And she's a blogger. She has the blog theprovencepost.com. And actually, I'm going to be posting this as a podcast at my blog, and that is bonjourcolorado.com. So if you can't hear the rest of this interview, I will have it up at bonjourcolorado.com. We're going to take a short break, and we are going to come back and maybe talk about more reasons for visiting the south of France and Provence in particular. Be right back.
Savoir tout sur l'amour depuis toujours. Nos corps par cœur et nos cœurs au chaud dans le velours. Et puis te voilà, bout de femme comme soufflé d'une sarbacane. Le ciel a même un autre éclat depuis toi. Le ciel s'est ouvert par en
Hello, and welcome back to Travel Fun. This is a special French program. I am here visiting with Julie Montner. Julie is a writer, freelance writer. She also has the blog, theprovencepost.com. And she's on the phone from Provence, Saint-Rémy-de-Provence, a wonderful little town. And we are talking about France, the south of France, and all kinds of great things. Julie, how about highlighting some of the other great places to visit in the area? For example, my eye caught a recent post that you had on your blog, and that was about sound and light show, series of shows taking place at the Pont du Gard, which is a wonderful old aqueduct in the south of France. And so talk just briefly about some of what you can visit in Provence and sort of the greater area around Provence in the south of
France.
Sure.
Actually, I'll be at the Pont du Gard tomorrow night for the fireworks.
Nice.
They do that four times a summer, and it looks spectacular. My home in Saint-Rémy is really a great base. Obviously, I love it here. But cities and villages within an hour that your readers would probably know are Marseille, which is a fabulous port town, Aix-en-Provence, which is a university town known for Paul Cézanne, among other things, Avignon, where the popes lived in the 14th century, and you can tour the enormous Palais de Pape, and the Rhone River flows through it. Arles, which is a city super rich in Roman history. The southern Côte du Rhône wine region is extremely close and extremely popular. We make a lot of rosé here, which I'm sure your readers know, and a lot of reds, not too much white.
Rosé de Provence, it's so great. One of my favorites, a good rosé de Provence.
Yes, yes. So there's a lot of world-class wine villages. There's art, there's music festivals, there's a lot of festivals in summer. But those are some of the sort of most popular villages in this part of Provence, inland Provence. And then, of course, 2 to 3 hours from here is the Côte d'Azur, and Saint-Tropez, and Monaco, and Cannes, and Antibes, and Nice, and all those wonderful places.
Talk a little bit about the wonderful open-air markets that you find in the south of France.
Markets are really a mainstay of the lifestyle here. The village life really revolves around the markets to a big extent. They're fabulous. Each town has one. Most towns have one. Everybody knows what day of the week you go to what town and what they specialize in. Sunday mornings is antiques in Ile-sur-le-Sorgue. Wednesday there's a big, beautiful market in Saint-Rémy. Saturday morning is the market at Arles, where you'll find a lot of food and a lot of North African ingredients. The markets are terrific. You go to see your friends, to gossip, to buy food, to buy whatever you need for your home for the week. They're colorful. They're fun. They're great. I love that the market tradition prevails here in Provence.
And I think it's important to emphasize that even if you're not living in Provence, if you're just a visitor passing through, these are just incredibly vibrant places to go that offer a feast for the eyes, and you can have a nice crusty piece of pizza from one of the pizza trucks that comes and just sit off to the side and enjoy that, or bring it back to your place of lodging. It's just a fun experience for residents and visitors alike.
It really is. On market day, you see people sitting all over the village eating the things they bought in the market, you know, on the steps of the town hall and on every park bench and on every street corner, tomatoes and olives and sweets and breads, and it's very much accepted and encouraged. You're right. It's a wonderful part of life here.
And it's interesting because on any day other than a market day, you typically don't see people eating in the streets in France.
That's correct. That's correct.
Except if they're just breaking off a piece of baguette and nibbling on that on the way home. That's something you see a lot. What's
true.
The mood like in France these days? They've had some tough economic times. How has this affected everybody?
The French people, I think, are generally optimistic by nature. They have their gripes and grumbles and concerns like anybody else. It's an exciting time with a new president. You know, people are struggling like they are everywhere and concerned about the future. But I find that the French have a really good sense of humor. There's sort of that Gallic shrug and that sound they make with their mouths, which says, what are you going to do? And I hear a lot of that.
Julie, you've got to go. Pardon me? Go ahead and make that sound for us.
Oh, I couldn't possibly do that on the radio.
Oh, et alors, buff.
It's a visual. It's a visual with the shoulders up and the hands palm up, and you make that sound with your mouth. When I came here, I didn't speak a word of French. And a lot of expats go to a new country and say, I don't want to hang out with expats. I want to meet the natives. And, you know, because I didn't speak French, most of my friends at the very beginning had to be English-speaking. And they became and remain my friends. So while I definitely have French friends, as an outsider, as a foreigner, I can't honestly say that I'm really in there when it comes to discussions about politics or the economy. I don't grasp the nuances.
You know, I think actually you're pretty smart in what you're doing, and I might get some criticism for this. When I lived in France, and I lived in Paris 11 years, I was so immersed in among the French. I had very few American friends, and although I was part of the major American organizations and American women's group in Paris and that kind of thing, but still, my social network and professional was essentially French. And it was, I felt out of balance with it. So I think you're probably smart in what you're doing. And this also gives me the opportunity to say that you have a Telluride connection. And in fact, that's how I found out about you and your blog. And that's Bunny Freitas, who lives in Telluride. And she's just, in addition to being a lovely person, she's a major Francophile. So,
yes.
Merci, Bunny.
Merci, Bunny.
Merci, Bunny, for the contact with Julie.
Oh, thank you.
Now, Julie, you also plan trips for people to Provence and I imagine other parts of France. Talk a little bit about that.
Sure. It was a natural extension of my food and travel writing and my journalism. I mean, I make my living primarily as a journalist, writing for magazines and websites in the U.S. And the blog came later. And the travel planning was a natural extension of having been a resource for many years for friends and family and the readers of my blog. People would like to know, where should we base when we come to Provence? What's a good village to stay in? What hotels do you love? Where should we eat? What should we see? What are the major sites? And so within the last year, I began doing it professionally. It's going very well. I love the work. My clients seem to be happy. So they'll come to me for anything from a long weekend to help them cram as much as they can into a long weekend, or a 3-week trip for a family of five. I'm doing some work for travel agents, helping them put together trips in Provence for their clients. I have a group of 12 coming this month. I have a group of 20 coming in October. So everything from a large group to a couple or even a solo traveler. And it's fun. It's a good extension of the work that I love to do.
Terrific. So you are the point person in Provence. And I found that Americans do enjoy dealing with other Americans. When they arrive in France, they want the whole French experience. However, when it comes to trip planning, I think it is a little bit more reassuring to deal with an American.
Sure, and also to offer them help on the ground when they're here. It's a very foreign country in a lot of ways. We tend to think not, but things work differently here. You have to drive stick, and the traffic is, everything is different here. And once you learn the ropes, it's easy, but I have found the nature of the questions that my clients ask me when they're here are really honest, interesting things. And if I can help them speed through the difficulty, I made every mistake in the book when I moved here, and it took me a long time to get up to speed. So it's a real joy and a pleasure for me to be able to help people who are here only for a short time not make those same mistakes.
All right, that sounds great. And the exchange rate is fairly decent these days, n'est-ce pas? Is that correct?
Yes. Yes, we're at about 125, which is terrific. Terrific for us, Americans. The money goes further. And the hotels seem to be quite doing well for the season. It's going to be a really good season here, but the exchange rate is terrific for Americans. The best it's been in quite a few years.
Right. And that, of course, means shopping. And I think some of the best shopping in France is in Provence, whether you're buying just a wonderful Provençal fabric shirt at one of the open-air markets or maybe in an antique at Saint-Rémy de Provence. Yeah, it is a great place to shop. I am visiting with Julie Mottner. And Julie's site is theprovencepost.com. Julie, do you have anything you'd like to add?
Oh, I think everybody should come and see us soon or at some point. And I just appreciate being given the opportunity to talk about my adopted home.
Terrific. I have one last question. Now, people from Telluride and most of Colorado are quite active. And is there much to do in the area in terms of outdoor activities, let's say hikes and that sort of thing?
Life here is very much led outdoors much of the year. The winters here are very mild. So you really can hike, you can bike and mountain bike, horseback riding, swimming. We have just about everything you can imagine. People are really into an active lifestyle here, and the weather accommodates it.
Great. I know I have done some cycling up and down, visiting the village perché, the hilltop villages you talked about, and that did provide a good workout. And what's nice is cycling in France is so much more enjoyable than in other parts of the world because people, the French, are respectful of cyclists. Let's face it, it's a country that's big on cycling, so they are respectful, and that's nice. So
very true.
That's a fun activity to do. Once again, I'm visiting with Julie Mottner, The Provence Post, and I am going to be blogging about this and posting this interview as a podcast at my blog, and that's bonjourcolorado.com. And Julie, thank you so much for being a guest on Travel Fun.
Thank you. It was a real pleasure.
Take care and have a wonderful summer.
Thank you, and to you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Come fly with me, let's fly away. If you can use some exotic booze, there's a bar in far Bombay. Come on, fly with me, we'll float down in the blue.